I have a 30,000 foot perspective on the grievance system. And that's why if you've got questions and you're shy, I get it, some people are, you don't want to ask them in public. My email address is on the written materials. Send me an email. Let's arrange a time, we'll talk. I consider that part of the registration fee you've paid, and I'm pleased and proud and privileged to visit with y'all. I can't do it if there's a pending grievance. I can't get involved in that. But other than that, if you've got ethical questions, I'm here for you. Not just until 5 o'clock, but in general. And that reminds me, having given 171 prior CLE presentations, I'm smart about one thing, and that is, when you're speaking as the last speaker on a Friday afternoon, and the calendar says you will end at 5 o'clock, so help me God, I will end at 5 o'clock. If y'all want to hang around, I'll hang around. I've got nothing else to do this evening. I can wait and watch baseball later, but I'm serious. I'm not going to keep y'all, or we're not going to keep y'all any later than need be. So with that, let's talk a little bit about, we did the disclaimer. We're going to talk practical tips to avoid legal malpractice, sanctions, professional misconduct findings when clients attempt to behave badly, which I've experienced in all its glory. This is my wife's vehicle. Why are we talking cars when we're supposed to be talking clients? The reason is her vehicle requires, as all vehicles do, regular maintenance. Oil changes, rotate the tires, transmission fluid, whatever it takes. And what's going to happen if it doesn't get regular maintenance? Well, eventually, it's going to break down when you need it. I sense an analogy coming here. This, as I promised you earlier, is my bar card. I didn't white anything out. I didn't hide any numbers. It's available on the State Bar website, so it's not exactly a big shock or secret. But that's my bar card. And just like my wife's car, it requires regular maintenance too. And I'm going to suggest to you, so do your bar cards. Now, I know you're used to maybe having it in a wallet or having it in a purse, and you drag it out when you go to a distant county and they have to see it so that you can get into the courtroom without taking off your shoes or your belt or whatever it is. And that may be the only times you ever really look at it, except on your 5 and 10 and 15 and 20, and in my case, 36-year anniversary of being a lawyer. But I think you need to do a little bit more to make sure you maintain that bar card. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about spending a little bit of time, just like maintenance on your vehicle costs you time because you're down and not having a vehicle for a period, or you have to wait for it in the service area, and money because you have to pay for it. Maintaining your bar card and making sure it runs well for you throughout your career also requires maintenance. And I'm suggesting that periodically you look at the disciplinary rules, especially when the Texas Supreme Court about 5 or 6 times a year amends those rules or creates proposed amendments for comment. Because if you don't stay up on what your ethical obligations are, you can't possibly honor them and make sure you stay on the right side of them. The ethical CLE programs like this, fantastic way to stay up on things. I'll tell you a little secret. I have been scared to death to be in a room with folks, after the whole COVID thing, and this is maybe my second or third live one in about 2.5 years. I just did one this afternoon over the web. You can get an awful lot of CLE from the University of Texas Law School and otherwise over the internet at your speed when you want to, a half hour or an hour at a time. It's incredibly convenient. And every once in a while, if you find a CLE that has to do with changes to the disciplinary rules or ethical obligations or stump the panel in a bunch of ethical questions, everyone's got a spare hour sometime. It may be at 3 in the morning, but whenever it is, just kind of challenge yourself and make sure that you're current on what the ethical rules require by looking at these disciplinary rules, the amendments, the ethics CLE programs. Another wonderful source, and it's available to you free. I say free, I mean, you have to pay your law license fee, but that entitles you to a, quote, free copy of the Texas Bar Journal. And as my learned colleague here pointed out, There are ethics discussions every month in that bar journal. And I'll tell you what, they're valuable. As much as I know about ethics, I learn from them sometimes. I mean, I know probably 70, 80% of it, but every once in a while they send me skittering to my resources so that I can update my papers and make sure that I'm being square with all of y'all. So that's a wonderful way for you to maintain your law license. Then there are the opinions of the Texas Professional Ethics Panel, which is a offshoot of the Texas Supreme Court. If you have a question that's particularly concerning to you, for instance, about 4 years ago, I had a question, how do we possibly talk on Facebook to our colleagues and get advice about ethical matters when we have to maintain attorney confidence? And I submitted it in writing, and about a year later, they published a published ethics opinion, how to use social media and lawyer groups in order to learn, you know, keep maintain your knowledge and get advice from your fellow lawyers and the do's and don'ts surrounding that. Those ethics opinions are a treasure trove of information that will help you to maintain your law license. And lastly, we have the American Bar Association ethics opinions, legal malpractice appellate opinions. I'm sure everybody has access to Westlaw or Lexis or, you know, Google Scholar. It doesn't have to be expensive, but, you know, search for legal malpractice within the last year, and bam, you know, you'll have a list of 5, 10, 12, 15, 20 cases that will let you know, okay, this is what the courts are doing with legal malpractice type lawsuits over the past several months.